Our gospel comes from John chapter 6, starting with verse 35. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have also seen me, and you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews started grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They asked, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? So how can he say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. I am not saying that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He is the one who has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I tell you, the one who believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that anyone may eat it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. God's grace, his mercy, and his peace, these and so many other blessings, they are yours through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I haven't told very many people about this, but as I was studying John 6 this past week, this memory kept coming back into my head over and over and over again, and I couldn't help but think of it. Because Jesus addresses the very things that I used to doubt right here in this section. You see, as a child, I was a pretty anxious kid. I worried a lot. Maybe some of you can relate. I got anxious about all kinds of different things. I even remember one time I was watching the news with my parents. And I was growing up when the Iraq and Afghanistan war was happening, and I was seeing what was happening on the news. I saw the violence, the hatred, the killing that was happening. And I remember looking at my parents and saying to them, are we safe? Is everything okay? I got so nervous. I got so scared to the point where I was asking my parents, is our army strong enough? Do we have enough security? Can our president handle this? What is going on? Are we safe? My parents had to calm me down. They said, yeah, you are safe. But it wasn't just with current events happening, wars, things happening across the ocean. It was even with biblical things that I'd get myself so worked up and so worried about. Because I remember at 8 years old, that being the first time that I felt like I didn't have that childlike faith anymore. It was the first time I remember questioning things and wondering and doubting and being scared. And I worried about if my faith was strong enough. I worried about if I had done enough. And all these temptations were coming at me and making me question all these kinds of things, to the point where I got myself so worked up that I ended up going to my mom and talking to her and saying, what happens if I lose my faith? What then? And you know what my mom did? She took me out to the front porch of our house. I can still remember it. It was a July day in 2005. And she put me on her lap. She put her arms around me. And she hugged me tight. You know what she said to me? She said, "He won't let you go. You are safe." And of course, being the stubborn and anxious 8-year-old that I was, I needed to hear it over and over again. And she kept saying it to me over and over again. "He won't let you go. You are safe." And so then I read John 6. And I see what Jesus is speaking. And I see what he's saying. And he talks about himself as being the bread of life. But you know what he talks about here? He says that when the Father draws people into the Son, he will not let them go. When the Father brings people to Jesus, Jesus is not going to throw them away. Jesus is not going to cast them out. When the Father brings people to Jesus, Jesus says, "I will not lose them." And this is the comfort. The comfort that I needed back then and still need today, and maybe the comfort that you need today as well. That Jesus, as your bread of life, he won't let you go. You are safe. Now, it's important that when you're reading Scripture to understand context, right? Understand who Jesus is talking to, because sometimes it can be important to understand, is Jesus talking to his disciples? Is he talking to Mary and Martha, people with leprosy, some Pharisees, tax collectors, a centurion? Who is Jesus talking to? Well, in John chapter 6, Jesus is talking to a group of Jewish people. In fact, a group of Jews who were there for the feeding of the 5,000. You remember this? When Jesus gives those loaves of bread and fish to the people, and it definitely didn't seem like it was enough for these 5,000 people, but he ends up feeding all of them. And what do the people see? They see Jesus do this incredible miracle, and then they say, "Let's make him our king." But not in the way that Jesus intended. Because what these people wanted to do is they wanted Jesus to be their king, their bread maker, their healer. That's what they wanted him to be right here, right now. Rule over us. And John even adds in that Jesus knew that they were going to force him into doing this. So what does Jesus do? Well, he retreats off to a mountainside. His disciples end up leaving. They go across the sea, and Jesus ends up walking on water at that point, which is a whole other thing. And then they get across the sea, and the people realize Jesus has left. So they get into their boats. They go across the sea to try to find him. Eventually, they do find him. And what do they want? Well, they want Jesus to be this bread king, this healer. That's what they want from him. And so they talk to him more, and they say to him, "You know, our fathers, our mothers, our ancestors, you know, in the desert when they were wandering around, God gave them manna to eat." And Jesus says to them, "Yeah, I know." And that's when he tries to show them, "But I have something better." And he says, "I have bread that isn't like that bread. I have bread that is better than that bread. I have bread that will make you live forever." And what do the people say? They say, "Sir, give us this bread always." But Jesus realizes they don't get it. So he has to show them. And he has to set them straight. And what does he say? He says, "I am the bread of life." What is Jesus talking about here? You see, they were just talking about manna in the wilderness, and they were just talking about this other bread, and Jesus says he can give them this bread, and now all of a sudden he's saying, "I'm the bread?" What does Jesus mean by that? Well, Jesus is trying to show them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that makes you live forever. I am so much better than that bread that was in the desert with your ancestors. I am so much greater than that, because that bread, that doesn't keep you alive. That sustains you for a little bit, but eventually your ancestors died. But he says, I am the bread of life. And whoever eats of me, they won't die. They won't perish. They will live in heaven forever with me. And what a wonderful picture that is, isn't it? What a wonderful, amazing blessing from Jesus, that he is our bread. He is the one who gives us life. He is the one who sustains us. He is the one who connects us to God the Father. He is the one who's going to take us to be with him in heaven forever, right? This is the best news. And you would think that these Jewish people would say, yes, Jesus, that's amazing. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. And you would think they would go around and tell people, the Savior is here, the Savior of the world. He is going to pay for our sins. This is the one, the bread of life. He's the best. Come see. Come check him out. You'd think this is what they would do, but that's not what they do. Instead, John writes that these Jewish people, when they heard this, they didn't care. They grumbled. And they pouted. Why? Because that wasn't the Jesus that they wanted. That wasn't the Jesus that they thought that they needed. Bread of life. Live forever. You've come down from heaven? What are you talking about? We don't need any of that. We want you to feed us here, right now. You just did it across the lake, Jesus. You just fed all of us over there. Why can't you continue to do this? Why don't you be our ruler right now? This is what they wanted. They didn't want that Jesus. They wanted their own version of Jesus. They wanted their own idea of who Jesus is. But are we really so different? Are there times when we've let culture and the world dictate what our viewpoint of Jesus is, and we don't let Scripture do it? Are there times when we allow the world to tell us who Jesus is instead of letting Jesus himself tell us who he is? See, there's a lot of different ideas of who Jesus is out in the world. People will say, you know, Jesus, he was a really good teacher. And they'll say, yeah, that stuff, love your neighbor as yourself, care for others. Oh, that's really good. But the moment he starts talking about the Son of God, we don't need that Jesus. I don't care about that Jesus. I don't want that Jesus. That's okay. I don't need that. You can just keep on teaching me about, you know, loving each other, caring about each other. That's what matters. You're a good moral teacher, Jesus. But that's not all Jesus is. Others may say Jesus is like their mascot, just cheering them on all the time, no matter what they're doing, even in sin. Jesus is there saying, well, I created you, and that's the way you are, and that's okay. Everything's all good. Here you are. That's you. Until you look in Scripture and you realize, well, Jesus doesn't actually condone sin, and he certainly isn't cheering it on. In fact, Jesus hates sin. And then there's others who think of one side of Jesus as the lamb, but they don't want to see Jesus as the lion, or Jesus is some sort of hippie, peace and love, everything's all good, man. Until you realize Jesus is not some hippie in an Astro van with a bandana around his head and a guitar singing about peace and love. No, Jesus doesn't have a guitar, he has a whip. And sometimes he's turning over tables. And sometimes he's turning around and rebuking his friends. But people don't want that Jesus. And maybe sometimes we don't want that Jesus. And we start doubting and we start worrying. Especially when he doesn't do what we tell him to do. Because what happens when that diagnosis comes in? You say, Jesus, take it away. And he doesn't. What then? What happens when the bank statement, the bills come in, and you realize there isn't enough? You say, Jesus, give this to me right now. I need you to fix this right now, but right now isn't coming, and it doesn't happen. What then? What happens when the relationship just isn't what it used to be? And you say, Jesus, I need you to fix this at this moment and in this way. Please, Jesus, do this for me right now. And he doesn't. Is this where our faith grows weak? Because he's not taking commands from us? Is this when we start to doubt and we start to worry? Because Jesus isn't doing what we're telling him to do when we tell him to do it? But even in those moments, even in those times when maybe we're like those Jewish people, and Jesus isn't being exactly what we want him to be, you know what Jesus says? He says, I'm better than that. I'm more than that. I'm the best thing in the entire world. Who does Jesus say he is? Go back to John 6. It says, I am the bread of life. And if you are worried about your faith, if you are worried about whether God loves you, whether God cares about you, whether God is listening to you, remember what he says. Those who the Father has drawn in, I will never throw away. Those who the Father has brought to me, I will never cast out, and I will not lose them. Jesus is telling them 2,000 years ago, and he's telling you and I 2,000 years later that whoever is in Jesus' hand, he is not going to lose. You can't jump out of it. He's not going to let you get away. He's not going to let you run off. You remember the parable of the sheep that wanders away and Jesus goes after them? This is what Jesus does. This is who Jesus is. He says, I am the bread of life. I am your connection. And what is this bread? It is my flesh. And I give my flesh willingly. That's what he was all about. That's what he came to do. Because he didn't just come to feed. He didn't just come to teach. He came to die. And he came to save. And did you catch what else he says? Did you see the next thing that he tells these people? He says, and whoever believes in me, I will raise them up on the last day. And you know who he's talking about? You! He's going to raise you on the last day. And his resurrection was proof of that. Not just that he was going to raise himself from the dead, but that you someday are going to raise from the dead. He could raise himself, and he's going to raise you. This is what he does. This is what he's all about. This is your bread of life. This is your connection to the Father. And then you read through Scripture, and you realize that this was God's plan the whole time. Before he even created the world, he knew mankind was going to fall into sin. He knew that he was going to send Jesus. He knew that Jesus was going to accomplish the mission, and he knew that someday he's going to raise you and I to be with him forever in heaven. This was always the plan. And he's not going to let you go because you are part of that plan. He is your bread of life. He is your connection to salvation. And whoever believes, whoever eats of this bread, they will live forever, and he will not cast them out. And he will not lose them. That's your king. That's your Jesus. That's your Savior. So I don't know, maybe you're like 8-year-old me. Maybe you used to be, maybe you still are now. But in those moments when you're worried, when you're concerned, when you wonder, have I done enough? Do I have enough faith? Recognize it's not about you. It's about him. And it's about what he did for you and what he does for you. He gives us that bread. He gives us his flesh as a sacrifice for you. So read through John 6 and read through the rest of Scripture. See who Jesus says he is. Because you know what you'll find? A Savior who says, I am the bread of life. I love you. I forgive you. I am here for you. And I will never let you go. You are safe. Amen. And may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.